Well, hey, church family, thank you so much. On behalf of Pastor Susan and I, thank you all. We are grateful to minister here. I recognize I didn't pray for Pastor Susan earlier, and so let's just pray for Pastor Susan right now that she would heal from this concussion, that her waves of nausea and dizziness would go away, but let's pray now. God, we're grateful to be in a church family that loves well. God, as part of that love, we ask and we pray that you would be with Pastor Susan, that you would heal her body, that you would take care of her. We ask that she'd get past these concussion symptoms and that she would just feel well. Lord, help her rest well, help her to take the steps that she needs to do in order to heal well, but most of all, God, may your power be at work in her, may your healing power be at work, whether that is through doctors, through rest, through supernatural means, whatever that means, Lord, we're grateful that you are the great physician. Heal Pastor Susan, and thank you for her ministry among us. We ask this and pray this all in the powerful and wonderful name of Jesus. Amen. This last Halloween, Caitlin and I had some pretty fantastic visitors. A couple of people stopped by. We had made arrangements with some people that were going to stop by and do some very minor trick-or-treating. And a couple of friends came by in a pretty socially distanced manner, and their two boys had some rather unique costume. So I'm just going to put the video up there. There's no sound to this video, but I'm just going to play it for us, and you'll probably catch on to what I'm saying. Here's a picture of the two boys in their transformed. You might recognize these as Transformers. I really like the second one we're about to go to. What you might not recognize here from Bumblebee and I think it was Sideswipe, the red car, it's pretty cool, but what you don't see is they're lying face down on our driveway right now for that picture, which I just have to imagine is not the most wonderful or comfortable place to be face down on cement. but hey, they did it for the costume, for the Transformer. That is super cool. Caitlin, you and I have work to do for next year. But it is super cool that their Transformer costumes do what they're supposed to. They transform. Like, that is part of the name, like more than meets the eye, Transformers. You can put in the comments if you were a Transformers fan. I never saw the 80s cartoon. Seen obviously the Michael Bay stuff and others, but yeah. But these Transformers, they do the costumes do what the actual Transformers do. They transform. They start one way, and they become something else. And it's super cool that their costumes transform, because that's what Transformers do. And I think if we take a look at it, that's what we as followers of Christ do as well. So we're going to explore that. We are in our third week of our Luminous series, where we are exploring places that we see light in the Christmas story. And this week we are talking about one of the more famous parts where we see light in the Christmas story. Angels appear to the shepherds, scare them, and then tell them to go find the child. No, not this child, not Baby Yoda. They go find the child Jesus, and we are going to take a look at that. So I'd invite you, you can turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 2, in your Bibles, on your phone, your computer, however you are accessing Scripture this morning. We're going to be in Luke 2, verses 8 through 12. I'm going to put that up on the screen now. Luke 2. That night, there were shepherds staying in the fields nearby, guarding their flocks of sheep. Suddenly, an angel of the Lord appeared among them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them. They were terrified. But the angel reassured them. "Don't be afraid," he said. "I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David, and you will recognize him by this sign. You will find a baby wrapped snugly in strips of cloth, lying in a manger." Suddenly, the angel was joined by a vast host of others, the armies of heaven, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and peace on earth to those with whom God is pleased." When the angels had returned to heaven, the shepherds said to each other, "Let's go to Bethlehem. Let's see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." They hurried to the village and found Mary and Joseph. And there was the baby lying in a manger. After seeing him, the shepherds told everyone what had happened and what the angel had said to them about this child. All who heard the shepherd's story were astonished, but Mary kept all these things in her heart and thought about them often. The shepherds went back to their flocks, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen. It was just as the angel had told them. I got chills reading that story. I don't know why. Actually, you know what? I do know why. This story has been my traditional Christmas reading for my family for as long as I've been alive, and probably well back into that. I don't know how far on my dad's side of the family, how far back that tradition started, but gives me chills even today after having read it several times this week. I want us to see a few things here. First off, shepherds. Shepherds were dirty, grungy laborers. They smelled terribly because they were always out with the sheep. They were there all day and night, and it was not glamorous work that they were doing. And they would not be who we would expect to get the good news. They are not the people who this should have gone to. I mean, if things were done properly, this announcement, this proclamation by an angelic messenger, a herald, and the heavenly host, this should have gone to like the high priests or scholars of the scriptures or rabbis or somebody. But instead, God chose shepherds, field laborers, people that tend to the sheep that are used for sacrifice in the temple, people that tend to sheep that are used for food. Just so we're clear on this, God revealed the best possible news, and it goes to people in the agricultural business, people who are feeding others. And I think this is one of many, many reasons that that we in today's world, we can be thankful for those who are involved in feeding us. Waiters, waitresses, people who prepare our food, absolutely, but also the people that make our food. Caitlin and I have lately started getting a CSA box. I don't even know what CSA stands for. It's the box that all the veggies come in that are grown from local farmers, and we have more greens than we know what to do with. There are things in there that I have never seen before and still don't know the name of them. But the people on these farms are working at feeding others. And if you know people, if you have people in your life that are at work feeding people, whether they are chefs, waiters, waitresses, farmers, agricultural workers, thank them. What they're doing is a worthy thing. And it's reasonably similar to what these shepherds were doing long ago. Most of those time, especially for the people that are involved in the field labor, the picking of veggies or the taking care of cattle, that is not particularly clean work. Like, you get dirty. It's not an office job. You get some dirt on you, but it's good. If Jesus came today, I don't know if the announcement about him would go out to waiters and waitresses or farm hands and veggie pickers. I do know that God wants us to treat others well, and that includes the people that are helping keep us fed. So please, if you have people in your life that are in the agriculture business, the restaurant industry, thank them. But we see these shepherds that are gathered together. They're all gathered together just for a standard night, and then suddenly, bam, an angel appears. You've heard me say this before, the reason that angels say, do not be afraid, is because everyone is terrified when they appear. It's not some like cutesy cartoon angel over here. Angels are warriors in the army of God. They are messengers of the divine. And they deserve a healthy amount of fear and respect because they serve the Almighty. And this particular angel, this angel says, don't be afraid, don't worry, I have got some good news for you. News that is going to bring great joy. The Savior, yes, the Messiah has been born. This passage is actually one of the inspiration for one of my favorite parts of the Messiah. Handel's, I don't even know what you'd call it. The musical, the Messiah. I don't even know what other words to describe it by. But you see this moment where the angel is speaking to the shepherds, and then the bass picks up, and suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, like, I don't know why, I'm not a bass, I am a tenor, but every time there's this image of one angel and then hundreds, thousands, we don't even know, more appearing, because this moment is so exciting. The moment when God's love in Jesus is announced fully to earth. And in this moment, we see in the biblical story this weird juxtaposition where the shepherds on one hand have been taken aback and are frightened, but are receiving the best possible news in the world. I mean, they're in this incredibly scary situation. I have to imagine that one angel is scary. I have not encountered an angelic being, but that I'm aware of. But I have to imagine one is scary, much less a multitude, a host. I know angels are on God's side, and that we are also trying to be on God's side, that we're following God, we're on God's side too as Christ followers, but that we can't allow the fear of this situation, we can't just look past that. There was this incredible intimidation factor, there was this fear there, not to mention the shepherds don't fully understand what's going on. I mean, how could they? Those of us who are reading this story 2,000 some odd years later, we've been conditioned to know this story is about Jesus and we know what's happening, but these are some guys that are clocking in for their night shift and all of a sudden a multitude of angelic beings appear. And yet, in spite of their fear, in spite of them not fully understanding what's going on, they were excited. And as we read the rest of the passage, they go to Jesus And it becomes pretty clear that their lives are transformed. You just have to look at the verses following the point where they encounter Jesus. I'm going to throw them back up on the screen here. After seeing him, the shepherds told everyone what had happened and what the angel had said about this child. And then skipping down to verse 20, the shepherds went back to their flocks, glorifying and praising God for all they had seen and heard. It was just as the angel had told them. Even when they go back to the mundane parts of their life, they go back to work, they go back to their jobs, but they are still talking about what has been revealed. They are still talking about their encounter with Jesus. And I think their transformation after their encounter with Jesus is meaningful for us today. They encountered Jesus. They were transformed. They didn't know the why. They didn't know the how. But they heard the good news about Jesus and their lives were different. They even acted different. They told everyone the good news that they had heard. In this story, we've got a startling series of events. Shepherds on job, watching their sheep. This great, amazing thing happens. But look how it ends. Even as things end, as the shepherds go back to their job, they are changed. They are transformed. When we encounter Jesus, when we encounter the real, authentic Jesus, it is transforming. I don't think there's any other option. When we encounter the true Jesus, it transforms us. Now, there is a bit of a problem because we don't always encounter the real and true, the authentic Jesus. We live in a world where there are people that claim Jesus is on my side of this debate. No, Jesus is on my side of this debate. People claiming to speak for Jesus, which is always something I'm a bit nervous about doing. Hey, you should follow my version of Jesus because he already agrees with everything that you agree with already. You should just follow my version of Jesus. Just a minor heads up. If the God of the universe already agrees with you perfectly on everything and has no challenge for your life, my guess is you're not dealing with the God of the universe because he is God. He is perfect, and we recognize that we are not. But when we encounter the true, real Jesus, we know love. We know what it means to have hope, to have peace, to live joyfully. And you can't fake that. It's not possible. What our world needs is people that are transformed by the power of Jesus. People that are not selfish, but selfless. People that do what's best for everyone, not just what's best for them. People that are loved well and love others well, instead of people that are angry and bitter. And funnily enough, what our world needs, what our world could use most in this hour, is also what we as individuals need too. That our best life is going to be a life that's transformed by encountering Jesus, the real, true Jesus. And there are a number of ways that we can encounter Jesus. I'm going to mention a few. If you have a different way that you encounter Jesus, feel free to leave it in the comment section. It would be great to see how you are encountering Jesus in your life. I'm going to suggest a few. These are ones you've probably heard of before, but I just want to encourage us to try and encounter Jesus. For those of us that are following, our lives are already being transformed. But as we lean in, as we encounter Jesus more and more, we cannot help but becoming more like him. Because when you encounter the true Jesus, there is no other option. So leave in the comments how you are encountering Jesus, but here are a couple of my suggestions. We can encounter Jesus when we read our Bibles. Whether you have a hard copy like this, whether you get it from a screen, however you are engaging with God's Word, when we read our Bibles, when we read the Scriptures, we can encounter Jesus. Even if it's not in the Gospels. You know, the four Gospels are the story of Jesus' life, but those are pretty small compared to the rest of the Bible. Even as we go outside of the four Gospels, though, we are able to encounter Jesus. We are able to encounter God. We can do that if we meditate on Scripture. Now, to do that, to encounter Jesus through the Bible well, we have to have a purpose for it. We can't, it doesn't feel as easy to encounter Jesus if you're trying to speed read through things. If you've got an assignment the next day and you're supposed to speed read through a book, just frankly, I never retained that information quite as well as if I took my time to read it. And if we speed read through the Bible, we might not pick up on things that God is trying to teach us. Instead, when we sit with a passage, when we read it, we ask God to reveal to us what God has to say in our lives, and then we just listen and wait. We meditate on the Scripture. We read it again. Ask God, what are you saying to us here? God can encounter us. We can encounter God through reading the Bible. We can encounter the transforming power of Jesus through fellow believers. I believe it is the right thing right now for our communities to stay apart on Sunday mornings. But I miss you. I miss being together, and I'm eager for the season, like Brian said, where we're able to do that again. Because when we get together, we can be encouragement to each other. As a young man after college, my roommate and I started a small group. We hosted it, and I have a lot of good memories of that small group back in Edmond. We were talking about following God, whatever step God puts before us, following God, and my roommate, Luke, said that we don't always know the end result, but we take the next step that we see. And the year that we had that conversation, that was the year that I moved to California to pursue seminary. That was the year that God set me up for what is happening now in my life, where I'm here, where I'm a pastor, where I met Caitlin. We can meet Jesus through our fellow believers. And sometimes we need to meet Jesus through others. Sometimes other people can meet Jesus through us. And so I want to challenge you, if you are somebody who has been thinking about someone, is saying, you know, I really need to talk to Phil. I've been meaning to, but I've just put it off. Give him a call this week. Write a letter. Shoot a text. Make contact. And you might find that in a few years, that other person is talking about being encouraged and encountering Jesus through you. Lastly, last option that I'm going to present today, we can experience Jesus' transforming power through prayer, taking time to sit, to still yourself. Maybe it's not in complete silence, maybe it's praying through worship music. We were talking about that as the worship team was here today. Some of us like to play the same song over and over and over again. Some of us can't imagine that, would want to To sing several different songs is our season of worship, and that leading into prayer. Some of us might just want to go sit on a rock and be quiet. That would be me, honestly. That sitting on a rock and being quiet, I have had some of my best. Actually, it's been more sitting on a log. I don't know if there's something special with Jesus being a carpenter and encountering Jesus through sitting on logs. I don't know. Maybe it's just me, but however it works best for you, take some time to sit and pray. We often forget that we have direct access to the Creator of the universe. We have access to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, by praying. And it's easy to forget that. Sometimes in the American Christian tradition, we emphasize doing, you know, the actions we take. And we definitely want to take action. We definitely want to be doing things for Jesus, standing up for Jesus, taking care of others in Jesus' name. Those are good and wonderful things, and we should not take away from that. We are definitely invited to action, but Jesus also transforms us by meditating on his character and listening to him. Think about taking some time talking with Jesus, however that engages best for you. Encountering the divine is surprising. It can be scary, like the shepherds were in this passage, but it leaves us utterly different. When we encounter Jesus, we leave transformed. The reason that I know God is real, that the reason that I am following God, that this Jesus thing is real, the reason I know all that is because I feel like I am being transformed. That I am a different person than I would be otherwise. That I am a person that's being taught to love my neighbors. That I'm trying to follow Jesus well. That I am trying to live at peace with people I encounter. That I am trying to love the orphan, the widow, and the alien that the Bible tells me to. I know that Jesus is real because I am being transformed to be more like him. Because when you encounter the true, authentic, wonderful Jesus, there is no other response. And so my challenge, my invitation to you as we walk into this Christmas week is that you take some time to encounter Jesus. Whether you do it by reading your scriptures, whether you do it by fellowshipping with believers, by praying, worshiping, however you encounter him best, encounter the true Jesus. Don't settle for fakes. Don't settle for the Hallmark version or whatever other version of Christmas movie that we're going to see with a Christmassy version of Jesus. That's something else. But encounter the real Jesus and see how your life is being transformed. Let's pray together and let's invite that transformation in our lives. God Almighty, you are good and wonderful. And when we encounter you in your fullness, it doesn't seem like there's any other option than to be transformed, than to try and become more like you. God, help us see well. Help us see you in your fullness. Help us to meditate on you. We ask and we pray that if there are pieces in our lives that are false images of you, that are not the true, authentic you, that you would open our eyes to them, that you would help us see, that instead of seeing a piece of you or a part of you, that we would see you in fullness, in power and majesty. That we would encounter you fully, and that you would transform us as a result. We know sometimes that transformation happens quickly, that people that were going one direction pull a 180 and go the other. We know that sometimes transformation takes longer. A river runs its course and slowly shifts inch by inch until it is in a completely different path than it was before. However that transformation in our lives is, God, we ask that you help us transform, that you would help us be transformed by your overwhelming mercy and love that you gave to each of us, that you showed for us by even coming to earth as Jesus. Leave us transformed. Make us a transformed people. We ask and pray this in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Church, go and be transformed this week. Encounter the true Jesus and watch as he transforms your life. Take care. Merry Christmas. Go in peace.